to know the artist behind the epic melodies, songs, and beats. Celebrating the best new music from around the world. This is the A State of Trance podcast.
It doesn't happen a lot that the guest of the podcast actually starts talking through jingles. So that's how we have to start this podcast.
Was it recorded?
Yeah, it was recorded. My name is Ruben Ronde.
You can cut it out. Come on.
No, we don't cut anything out here.
You do.
No, cut it out. So welcome to this brand new podcast. My name is Ruben Ronde in the studio today. For the second time, actually. And Royale, welcome.
Hey, yo. I'm good.
Yeah?
You didn't ask me, but I'm good.
Yeah. You're doing good because you look fresh. You have been on a little vacation. I saw on your social medias.
Yeah, but that was a while ago already. That was like, 3 weeks ago?
So you can't be rested of that anymore?
No, because I had like 3 weeks in the studio after preparing for the whole album tour, and that just kills the whole vacation straight up.
After that's one week, it's out of the window.
Yeah, 100%.
So yeah, for a good reason, your album Lifeline, it's out now. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
First, going to start with the basic question. Why did you call your album Lifeline?
Well, basically, every person in their lives, they can choose their own destiny. Mm-hmm. You can, choose to be whoever you want. And that's pretty much the main idea of the album, is that it's your choice. Either you want to be, a DJ, a musician, you want to live a crazy life, you want to live a calm life. It's all up to you. It's all up to you to choose your own lifeline mm-hmm. and the way you want to be. For me, it was kind of destined to have a completely different life. I was born in a small country, in a post-Soviet Union country.
In Moldova, yeah.
Yeah, where, everybody kind of has one lifeline. You are either going to become, accountant, which I kind of am. Anyways, that's what I've studied.
Helps.
It helps. There you go. You just have a normal profession, you have a normal job. Nothing extraordinary. Yeah. Like rarely somebody from that country becomes extraordinary, went abroad and does something extraordinary. And it was only my choice and my ambition that I chose that, I don't want that. I want to do music, I want to play music, I want to create music and show it to the world. And that lifeline, those choices made me, achieve what I've achieved today. So that's pretty much the whole idea behind the Lifeline album. Only you and your choices will get you wherever you want to be.
That's interesting. Well,
and it's completely normal if you don't want to do this. If you want to have a normal job and, go
and
from 9
also,
to... Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's only totally up to you.
In the previous podcast, we already had a brief talk about the whole history, how you become a musician. I just want to touch into the thing you just told me, that it's right. really extraordinary that you step out of the lifeline that normal people in Moldova have.
Exactly,
What made you to step out of those boundaries and to become the musician that you are right now?
It's music, 100%. I just love to create music. I love to get something out of nothing, because essentially that's what we do.
Yeah, but you can also do that you can stay in your little bedroom making music and you don't have to have any ambitions whatsoever, because you just said
Yeah,
but it's interesting because you're right, I guess. There's a lot of people that just live in their little box and they don't have any ambitions to get out of it.
Exactly. People just, become comfortable. Mm-hmm. And if you're comfortable with your job, with the time that you dedicate to your job and to the life that you have, a lot of people just become comfortable with, when they have enough money to sustain themselves and their family, and then that's fine for them. They don't want to put more work into going to the next level. For me, I always knew that becoming comfortable with something, it's very dangerous, because then you just stop pushing yourself to the next limit, to the next boundary. And I always try to push myself further and further and further. And, when I was a kid, a lot of my friends would call me, go out, play soccer, or just run around, whatever, do all the normal stuff that everybody was doing. And I was like, no, I need to dedicate time to this thing that I want to do. And I can't go out now. Like, I needed to spend my hours. I need to spend like 8, maybe 10 hours every day in the studio.
Yeah.
And, you know, just pushing myself further and further. And there were a lot of limits back then. You know, I didn't have proper internet. There was no tutorials left and right.
No YouTube.
No YouTube, no nothing. You just, you know.
Plugins were expensive. Hardware was hard to find.
It was a lot of stuff. You needed to squeeze everything out of that little thing that you had. You had one VST, whatever it was, and you just needed to go crazy with it to make something cool, something interesting.
How would you compare the mindset that you have had back then to what you are right now?
I mean,
because now you have, well, let's say you have everything you want to, or
yeah, in terms of like production and musically, obviously, I don't have the limits of, you know, oh, I want that plugin, but I can't get it. You know, obviously, if it's out, I'll just go buy it and that's it. And it kind of, I thought it will make things easier because, oh, now I can buy any contact sample pack or any, like any plugin. I can have all the presets in the world. And when you get all of them, you just get lost. You don't know, okay, what do I use? Where is like, and back then it was much easier because you had only three. One, I mean, you knew exactly, I'll go there and have 10 samples. I have 10 samples and I know exactly where they are. Now it's like libraries and you waste a lot of time just searching through the things that you don't really need.
Yeah. I guess that's what we talked about is with Ferry Corsten also. Like he said, back in the days, what you see in techno, right? Tech trends, whatever people call it right now, that is less sounds. So it sounds fatter or something like that. I don't know.
I mean, it's also easier to mix and master a song that has three elements. Than
that's true.
Uplifting trance that has.
And when you see a project that you have, it's like, I don't know. I wish. How many channels does that have?
It's at least like 80.
Yeah. Stack on stack.
It's like only the bass line is like 10 layers, like mid bass line, mid side bass line, mid, whatever.
Instead of techno, just rumble and sub and that's it.
That's it.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, I have to go back to where we started actually because Lifeline, so you told about how you came up about with the title of the album. Now I would like to know from you, how do you incorporate the story of the Lifeline of all the tracks? How do you incorporate that into a Lifeline? Is there like a storytelling on the album as well?
I mean, musically, maybe you can read it a little bit, but I personally chose to say that every song will tell its story and every song is kind of a lifeline. So you can, you know, listen to that song, check out that story and get yourself motivated from that lifeline. So it's like a lifeline within the whole Lifeline album, whatever.
Is it something, because there's a lot of vocal tracks on there.
I think
there.
We're using the Lifeline word way too much.
No. It's a selling point. So we have
the album is called
Lifeline. No shit. So you have tracks on here with, of course, That Girl, Mario Lilek, Ideal Jazz, Ideal Again, Amanda Collins, Mike Smith. There's a lot of vocal tracks on there.
I think all the tracks are vocals.
Okay.
All of them.
So is that something that you take in consideration as well, that you go to these people like, hey, my album is going to be called Lifeline. Is there a certain subject that you take along to these artists and say, hey, I want you to write about this kind of thing?
Absolutely no. I just give complete freedom to every artist, every writer, because again, it's not a secret. I don't write lyrics.
No.
You know,
it's a different profession.
It's like completely. And, you know, I write the main idea, the main melody. We send it to sometimes a couple of vocalists and then they write the lyrics. I can help with the melody of the vocal and the whole harmony and everything, but definitely not the lyrics. So obviously a lot of the concept of the track and storytelling is on the writer and vocalist himself, because he's going to give essentially the whole idea and life to that track.
Yeah, there's one track on here that I want to just, I didn't ask you this, but I'm curious about this, the one with Zoe Lowe. You wrote that here in the studio, right?
Yeah, a long time ago. And even back, all the way back then, I said, this is going to be on my next album.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, you're working on an album. I'm like, no.
It was with Roxanne in the studio as well?
Was, I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, and who else was riding along with Elsa for a few hours?
Was it you?
Yeah. I was in the studio and I brought in some words also. I didn't know that.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
So, I remember that we were on the piano together at some point, but was it that during that day?
That's this one. I did not hear that, so I'm very curious about the results.
Yeah.
So just a side note. That's awesome. I didn't know that.
I'll play you the track right after. You're going to freak out. That's the most different track from the album.
Tell us about it.
It just doesn't fit with the whole album, but I was like, I love this melody so much. I want to make it more experimental. I want to make it more different. It sounds kind of as an outro with orchestra and everything, but at the same time, very pop in a way. Mm-hmm. So yeah, four years ago, we've written this all the way before pandemic and everything. It was just during a writing camp here at Armada. And that's why I said, I wasn't even working on the album back then.
Yeah.
That's why she asked. I was like, no, not working. And she was like, oh, okay, this is going to be released. God knows when.
I think it's awesome. And also she's in the credits. Like you might know her from Rest of Our Lives with Ben Gold. So yeah, amazing singer, songwriter as
absolutely,
well.
Absolutely.
So to be honest, I was quite surprised by the diversity of the album that you played on the show. You had 1 hour that you filled with the music. It literally goes from commercial pop dance to uplifting trends. And there's also a track with jazz on there, which is more breakbeat kind of.
Yeah, it's a completely also like one of those more experimental tracks that I can afford doing only in an album.
Yeah.
I would never like make a track like that and release it as a single because people will be like, hey,
yeah,
what are you doing?
Yeah, because it's funny that you mentioned because the last album was 6 years ago, Moments, 2017.
Yeah.
And from there on, you pretty much only then created music for your sets or dance floors and the radio.
Yeah,
but
pretty
not necessarily something that comes from the heart.
Absolutely. Nothing experimental, nothing that I was like, I'm making this just as an expression of myself, just because I like, experimenting. I like trying new things. And album is a perfect moment to do that. And that's where, I dug in all my older folders and all my ideas that I knew that, this is not really a dance song. This is more like a song. It's like I'm just writing it for people to listen to it and feel some emotions, not really to dance. You're not going to really dance on Rescue Me. It's more like an orchestral, emotional thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just perfect moment to do stuff like that. And I hope people are going to take it the right way. Yeah. They're not going to be like, oh, again, that story. He's not making trends anymore. He's not.
Please.
Please stop with that. Leave me alone.
please don't do that anymore. No, I think it's such a really nice and diverse album. So big props to that. And I think, as a creator, I think you should do whatever you feel like making. That's why the track with Jess really surprised me because it's a nice breakbeat track. I never heard you do that before.
I've done one track. It's definitely different from this one, but also like super experimental in the previous album. It was called Home with Jonathan Mendelsohn. It also has sort of a weird vibe.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like I don't really do that sort of stuff. And I didn't even know what I was going to do. Because I think when we got the first idea, I was talking with Harry, one of the A&Rs in Armada. I was telling him, okay, so this one I'm going to do like also like very progressive. And then I just went into the studio. I was like, oh, I feel like going this way now. Like, you never know. Sometimes you think you're going to do this thing and just in the studio, you know how it goes. Just
you go another way.
Yeah, the creativity or like you get inspired by, it was probably like I just found a sample that it was like more breakbeat. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go that way, make it different.
I think it's interesting because you said you created this album pretty much during lockdowns, not being able to tour. Now you're back on tour again. Do you give yourself the creative freedom again to create something like this? Or is it back to creating stuff only for the radio and for dance floor again?
It's definitely more back to creating stuff that works on the dance floor. Even now, like, I need to dedicate a lot of time to transform a lot of these tracks that are more slow and more progressive into more club versions, so I can actually play them, you know, during the live shows. Because, I mean, if I play a lot of those progressive tracks, there's not a lot of energy which I want to give to people, and that's not going to really be an Andrea live set.
Mm-hmm. But so, I found that an interesting discussion, actually, because I think you should actually also play these originals on the dance floor. I mean, know it's not the same. Like, I've seen so many of your DJ sets, and I know that it's like energy goes, yeah, goes, goes. But a lot of people will listen to this album, and those songs will get close to the heart, and then they go to a live show, and then they hear different versions. Maybe it's a different experience, I guess.
I'm 100% down to try it out, but because, then again...
Because that's the point that I'm trying to make. Giuseppe Ottaviani was here in the studio, and it was just before he created Horizons, the progressive side of things. And back then he was like, okay, I created this during lockdown. It's like progressive stuff. I can't play this in my set because it doesn't appeal to the crowd that's selling tickets to my shows.
Exactly.
And now he's playing longer sets, including those tracks. So I'm very curious, it's maybe something for your album tour.
It 100% depends on the situation. Yeah. If it
feels right.
If the promoter gives you that time, you know, because there's a lot of venues and shows, and, you know, sometimes you don't even get 2 hours. Sometimes they...
It's 1 hour, here you go.
Yeah, well, for like the clubs, they might, not really an hour, but like an hour and a half, sometimes they'll give it to you, and that's not even enough for my basic stuff, where I'm going to incorporate all the like slower and... you know, more progressive stuff. Sometimes they give you a lot of time. You have all the freedom and creativity. You can do whatever you want. You can play 5 hours and start like with the whole progressive stuff and then just go crazy all the way to... So I guess it all depends on the situations I'm going to have, you know, with all these shows. And maybe at some point I'll try it out. I'll try it out, see how people react.
But I guess you're right.
What I was going to say, you know, when you play these shows, you don't really play for one or two people. You play for, you know, you need to feel like the majority is getting it and, you know, the vibe is right. And if there's 1,000 people and one person is like the biggest fan ever, he wants the original stuff, but then there's like the rest, 999 people that want just to, you know, go crazy, then what are you going to do?
Yeah, that's true. I guess it depends the situation. Like, for example, if you would play a rooftop party or a daytime thing, then you could actually bring those out as well. I think it's a valid point. And I know I've seen so many of your sets, so I know the energy is just insane.
Yeah, I've played some progressive sets as well. Like, we have now the deeper harmonies. We're experimenting with that. I'm also going to be doing some of those deeper sets. We used to do the dark side sets, which were like crazy, and the light side sets, also more like on the rooftop. And it was like 122 to 125 BPM, super progressive, super slow. Mm-hmm. So for that occasion, of course, like, I would always play that type of sound.
Yeah, makes sense. I have a couple of questions from fans that were submitted.
Alrighty, so let's see it.
Elena 69 Luca always has good questions. Thank you once again, Elena. How many tracks are included in the album, and what's your favorite song on it?
Well, it's 17 tracks.
18. It says the track list says 18.
Did I fuck it up?
Yeah.
Is it 18?
It's 18. Stronger, okay, Shades, well, Closer, All Falls Down, Wild Feelings, Silver Lining.
Then I didn't count right. It's 18 tracks. My favorite, I mean, again, it's not like
it's
I'm choosing.
It's impossible to pick one, I guess.
Yeah, but there's one that feels super, super special just because I've dedicated to my wife. We had our first dance during the wedding on that song. We made a music video where she's included. We had a trip in the summer where we filmed a lot of stuff together. And the track is called Feels Like Home. So, I mean, I don't want to say it's my favorite song from the album, but it feels a little bit more special just because it has that connection to me and my wife.
I've seen you play it in Kuala Lumpur when we played together just before Christmas.
Oh, she was there.
She was there. That was indeed a special moment. That was really nice. So I think When I hear that track, that's a moment that I think back of. That's really nice. So I understand that you picked that one for sure. JJ Cool 4357 wants to know, how would you describe your new album if you could do it in one sentence?
A completely diverse, euphoric, and defining.
Come on.
the defining album, at least for this time in my life.
Yeah. So the lifeline of here right now of In The Radar.
Exactly. Yeah. So if I make something different in 5 years, don't say that. Oh, but you said no. Is
the
this
point on the lifeline?
It's this point in my lifeline. Yeah.
The Joe Fish wants to know, what would you do different if you would start over your musical career? That's an interesting question. So if you go back in your lifeline to, exactly, let's say 2010, I mean, first releases.
You never know. I mean, I'm pretty, let me put it this way. I'm pretty happy where this lifeline took me. Mm-hmm. It was kind of an impossible journey for me, for a person coming from a small town, from a small country that even up to today, not many people know of. So,
beautiful country of Moldova, by the way.
Yeah, you should come visit.
100%.
And I wouldn't change anything. I've made a lot of mistakes. I know that, you know, I'm not talking, you know, I'm talking musically, you know, mm-hmm. I've made some tracks that, you know, for reasons that were not really, coming out of my heart. It was more like, oh, is that sound? It works now. We should try and do this. And obviously fans and people noticed that. But most of the music was coming from my heart and I wouldn't really change anything.
But even if the tracks were made from a different perspective than just passion or anything, it brought you where you are right now. So,
yeah, sometimes you have to make some decisions based on more of a business perspective, mm-hmm. than, you know, musical stuff. If it was 100% musical, I would have definitely not been here. And some of the fans that at this point love my music would have never heard about me.
That's true. Well, there you go. Yeah. So I think it's still, even if it was at the moment that you thought it was a mistake, I think it's still good.
Yeah. And some of these fans, they don't really know where I'm coming from musically speaking, you know, they're like, oh, your roots, that uplifting and trancey sound. And that's not my roots. You don't know what are my roots.
What are your roots?
My roots are rock.
Rock.
Yeah, so my first big love in music was rock. Me and my brother, we started listening to Linkin Park, Nightwish, Rammstein, stuff like that. And then, if we speak about my roots, we went into house. We used to listen to a lot of house. Then we went into electro house, like a lot of electro house, like Benny Benassi stuff, like mm-hmm. a lot of, you know, when electro house was there. And then we arrived into trance, and that was kind of one of the genres that took me away completely. So when I make more housey tracks, I'm actually, then that's when I go back to my roots.
Yeah. That also explains the diversity of this album also, and also the songwriting parts of the album.
I'm not going to say I'm going to start making rock, but
why not?
Maybe.
I would love to see that. Yeah. Playing some guitar, some screaming in there. I don't know.
Myself.
Yeah. I would love to see that. Jester's World wants to know, when is the release of your track with Diana Miro? Well, that's an easy answer.
Yeah, it's out.
It's on the album.
It's on the album. So at this point, probably.
Under her 88 Birds alias, of course.
Yeah. So by the time you listen to this podcast, the track is probably out.
And it's one of my favorites. I didn't see. Well, of course.
I love it.
I'm a big fan of Diana.
The vibe is, I really like it. Yeah.
She's great. Shelly Kitta Rat, how did you start DJing and producing? Any tips for beginners? Well, let's stick to a beginner's tip. Because if you want to hear about the DJing and producing, you can check out the previous podcast.
Yeah, Maria. So tips for DJs or for producers?
Just do producer.
I mean, I don't consider myself the best producer out there. Like,
you're doing a good job.
Yeah, first of all, like at some point I'm like, oh, I'm doing great. And like, And then you look at these kids, they're like 14, and like, how the heck did they
What is this sound design? Who are you? Like, Which planet are you from?
So the more we go, all these new kids, they're like more and more advanced into all this stuff. But like, it's the most basic thing. Try to find your sound. Try to be unique in whatever you want to be unique. It can be melodies. It can be sound design. It can be the writing, the combination of everything. Like, you don't have to necessarily be unique at all of these things. But it's got to be that element that, you know, the fans will recognize.
That makes you you.
Yeah, because I never realized this, but a lot of people were telling me all this time, oh, whenever Armin was playing one of your tracks in his set that he wasn't released or premiered or known as my song, everybody was like, oh, we knew exactly it's your song. And they were like, he would play it in a state of trance. It was like, actually you. And we were like, so happy. Like, I think they had like games at some point, like they're recognizing my tracks. And that actually tells something that,
yeah, there people is that can sound. Recognize that yeah. it's your song
yeah.
without knowing that it's your song.
Yeah.
That's something special.
Yeah. And sometimes that means you need to use that lead in three songs because that's what makes it kind of unique. But I guess, yeah, there's like pros and cons. And
that's,
you know,
that's
and with the fans, you never know because half of the people are like, you have to make this stuff.
For the rest of your life.
Again and again
this
and again.
Template for the rest of your life.
And then you're like, okay, well, I'll make it for you. And you make a couple of tracks. And then like the other half comes in and they're like, why are your tracks sound the same?
Same all the time.
Why are you making the same thing? I'm like, okay, great. Let's change stuff. And then the other half comes, why are you changing? And it's like an endless loop of—
How do you deal with that mentally?
I used to be really bad at it. Yeah. Like, it used to affect me a lot. Nowadays, either I grew up out of it, and now I'm just, you know, trying to make whatever I like, whatever works, and whatever defines me as an artist, and try not to pay attention to a lot of these comments. And I think a lot of these people have filtered out. They like came in, they've listened, they probably liked some of the stuff at some point. They're like, oh, he's changed. They moved on. Yeah. I moved on. So it's the circle of life.
That's nice. Can you do that again?
It's the circle.
Beautiful. Yeah. I think people don't realize that they can be very hurtful online. And I think that should, it's never going to stop. But we have to say, please don't do that anymore. Let artists 100%. Be artists.
Even up to today, I'm not even sure. But there were like a lot of time on a state of trance. There were people that were sincerely 100% against me. Like, you could see that in the comments. Don't play Andrew Rael. Yeah. Don't, like, you take him out for whatever reason. I don't know what did I do to those people. He's not trans anymore. Yeah. I never really got all these things. And back then, it used to affect me a lot.
Yeah, but like, which is normal. Of course it affects you. It's a personal attack.
Yeah, like, you don't like the music, don't listen to it. Why?
That's how easy it is.
Yeah, but I guess, you know, some people want to go deep, and they did.
I don't know. It's just, I think people should just, well, it's what you say. If you don't like it, just don't listen to it. Switch off the sound for a second or whatever, or just try to enjoy it, because people are already thinking straight away, hey, it's this and this artist, so it's not going to be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I strongly disagree with that. But let's keep it positive. Your album, Lifeline, it's out now. Massive congratulations.
Thank you so much.
It's a piece of art. And please keep on making all this diverse music that you're putting out.
I'm making a lot of stuff. Even if one day, you know, for whatever reason, something happens and like, I don't want to continue the Andrew Rael project, I already work on so many other projects that people don't even know it's me.
Hmm.
So it's like, oh, it's, you know, and they like it. I see it.
You're like, ha-ha!
And the minute I tell these people it's Andrew Rael, it might be some of those people that don't like it. The minute they know, they're like, ah, oh, we don't like it anymore.
I think it's interesting because, like, you've created so many, even in the last few years, you created so many beautiful uplifting tracks as well. So I think you're still pleasing a lot of people anyway with the music that you love making as well.
Absolutely. So, I love making uplifting and trancey stuff, but it all has a limit. You cannot make 10 tracks in a row.
Very true.
That are like similar in the making process. Yeah. You just get bored.
Very true. Well, thank you once again for coming by, Andrew.
Thanks.
Big shout out also to the Find Your Harmony team, Pavel.
Hey,
you're an absolute
Pavel.
Legend. check Andrew Royale on tour. He's going to do a lot of shows. He's going to be here for State of Trance Utrecht. And we think we can keep on talking for a long time, but we're going to stop it right now. So thank you for watching this episode of State of Trance. Andrew Royale, Lifeline, check it out. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in. Check all previous episodes on YouTube or your favorite podcast portal. A State of Trance podcast.